What a beautiful day out there. You think spring has finally come? I hope so. I hope I never see another snowflake. Not at least till next year, right? I said, I don't want to see another snowflake. I say, once again, welcome. You know, I think about church. Church is not just an organization. We preach, we talk about that. We're going to talk about it in our class this afternoon. It's an organism, right? And it's something that's living and vibrant and growing. And a church is an organism. It's God's house. And it's God's home. And it's for God's name and for His fame and for His glory, right? And for God's people. It's through, pardon me, it's through God's, what? I don't know what were you saying, sweet? Am I puffing? I was running. Okay, I was running. I ran for water and back. But it's through God's people that His glory is seen in the earth, right? So through you and I. So I pray that this message would seep deep into our heart, and by hearing it and obeying it, we would manifest God's glory on the earth. Amen? So just bow your heads, and we'll just pray. Father, bless the word that is preached. From my mouth, anoint me. My mind, my mouth, this message. Anoint every ear, every heart here to receive what your Spirit is saying to the Word of God this morning. Let that Word of God change us, challenge us, make us grow. And as we live this Word out, may it manifest your glory in the city, on the earth, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. We're well into the series. We are grace people. We are grace people. And the title of my message today is, We Are Grace People, and Grace Does Not Quit. Grace does not quit. Now, I believe that everyone whose life meets, intersects, connects with Jesus will have their own personal story. Do you agree with that? And it will be a story of grace. Today we're going to look at someone's story. We're going to look at the story of the life of Simon, better known as Simon Peter. And I want you to take you to the very first place where Peter actually meets Jesus. And it's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. It's a familiar story. I've preached from this story before. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And the setting is this. It's a long, hard night for Peter the fisherman. He's been fishing all night. He's caught absolutely nothing. He's tired. He's disappointed. And he's going home empty-handed, no paycheck. And that's when he meets Jesus, who tells him these words. Now go out where it is deeper. Let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. The nets began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, Oh Lord, please forgive me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. Jesus replied to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. You'll be fishing for people. Which must have been strange words for Simon to hear. You'll be fishing for people. So what was Jesus saying? Here's what Jesus was saying. He's saying, Simon, your life is about to change. Who you are right now and who you were in the past is not going to be who you will be in the future. See, on that day, Simon became a believer, a friend, and a follower of Jesus Christ. And on that day, something new began to happen within him. It's like when Christ comes into anybody's life, when Christ comes into your life, you get a new heart and you get a new spirit. And the Bible calls that being born again. But the work and the change that God wants to do in your life happens over time. In fact, it happens over a lifetime. Are you through finished? Are you through changing? Is God finished with you? No, He is not yet finished with you. Right? It happens over a lifetime. But, so, you can get saved, but your mind is still thinking the way it's learned to think, with all its negativity and its selfishness and its pride. See, people who don't understand this just assume that, okay, now that I'm a Christian, I gotta be perfect. I'm supposed to be perfect. People expect me to be perfect. But it's that wrong thinking that have affected Christians for generations. See, here's the point. Point number one. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ doesn't mean that you will suddenly be perfect. Do you know that? See, you can get saved. You get a new heart and a spirit. But the transformation that God wants to do in you, it happens over time, and it happens through a process called the renewing of your mind. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means day by day, little by little, a thought here, a thought there, an understanding here, an understanding there, a truth here, and a truth here. And your mind starts changing, and your life starts changing too, as well. See, that day that Peter met Jesus, he became a true blue father, a follower of Jesus Christ. But his life, even after that, and his track record were far from being perfect. Right? Now think of all the people in the Bible, who am I the most like? You know, and I say, I'm the most like Peter. I'm the most like Peter. I admit that. Peter was not the best representative of Jesus. He was not the best PR man for Jesus, was he? You read the Gospels, and you realize Peter had a hot temper. He was hot-tempered. He always seemed to be doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. You know, in the garden, when Jesus was surrendering his life, Jesus drew his sword, cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest, and Jesus saying to Peter, put that sword away. Like, what are you doing, Peter? You know, Peter was up and down emotionally. You know, he was speaking before he was thinking. You know, he always overpromised, and he always under-delivered. And you look at the life of Peter, and it was like, he just made a lot of messes. It was like one mess after another mess. He'd make a mess, and he'd feel bad about it. He'd be sorry. He'd apologize. Oh, man, I know I blew it. Please forgive me, Lord. But then, you know, he'd go along for a while, and then make another mess, and he'd feel sorry. And he'd ask for forgiveness, you know. And I'm sure he must have felt like an idiot. You ever feel like an idiot sometimes? Jackson, I feel like an idiot. I do. Right? Peter must have been so frustrated with himself, like, does my behavior disqualify me from being a Christ follower? I just blow it and blow it and blow it, right? But you know, through all these mistakes and failures and goof-ups and blow-ups and messes, Jesus continues to believe in Peter. He continues to encourage him. He continues to include him. Jesus never gives up on him. He doesn't give up on him. Jesus doesn't write him off. He doesn't leave him alone. Why? You know why? Because Jesus doesn't quit. Amen? And grace does not quit. Amen. You know me? I want to be honest with you. When someone or some people disappoint me, I mean, not just once, but when they regularly disappoint me and they don't live up to my expectations and they constantly don't do what they should do, you know what? I have a hard time. I have a really hard time and I struggle in my heart sometimes with them. I want to be really honest with you. I know you think that's not possible with me, but it is possible, right? You know, I'm an Edmonton Oilers fan. And I've always been a loyal, faithful follower fan of the Edmonton Oilers. But I want to tell you, 2 years ago, this is pre-McDavid days, 2 years ago, I was so upset with the Oilers. It was disappointment after disappointment, loss after loss at the bottom of the league, year after year after year. And I remember one evening I was watching the Oilers playing the Chicago Blackhawks and I thought, man, you gotta beat these Blackhawks. I don't like the Blackhawks, you know, and they were ahead by three goals going into the last period, 15, 20 minutes left in the game. You know what happened? They lost the game. Boom, 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 boom. Goals went into the Oilers net. And I thought, that's it. That's it. I have had it. I give up. I quit. In fact, I'm going back to becoming a Leafs fan. I mean, I was that desperate. Where's Brent? Notice I didn't say back to a Flames fan. I wasn't that desperate. Yeah, I know you guys, some of you guys say, you know, I don't, you know, you don't get upset about that kind of stuff because, you know, you're so holy, right? So what did I do? So I asked God to help me become more like Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't quit. Jesus is an Oilers fan. And he still is an Oilers fan. I know I'm really stretching it. See, what I'm trying to say to you today is this. He's still a fan of you. He's still a fan of you. Right? Despite the mess ups and your blow ups and all the things that you do, he's still a fan of you. Amen? Amen? Wrong decisions, you take a good opportunity, you make it out of bad, at a bad outcome, he's still a fan of you. Number two, Jesus doesn't quit. He doesn't quit on you. Philippians 1 verse 6. Paul said, I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished. When? On the day when Christ Jesus returns, or until the day you get into heaven. He's never finished working on you. He never gives up on you. That's what he's saying. Jesus doesn't quit on you when you blow it, when you mess up, when you get discouraged. Jesus doesn't quit when other people quit on you. Jesus doesn't even quit when you quit on yourself. He believes in you, right? Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says, he will never leave you. He will or forsake you. Psalm 27 verse 10. The psalmist said, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord, he never will. The Lord will receive me. Jesus just does not quit because grace does not quit. Jesus is full of grace. Unending grace. He's full of grace. And grace does not quit. Amen. You know, this one night, on the night when Jesus was on trial and he was led into the courtyard called it was the snake pit, better known as the courtyard of the high priest, and Simon Peter followed Jesus into the courtyard. And he ends up sitting before this fire. Now Peter was the guy who just days before, in fact, just hours before, said, Jesus, I will fight for you. I'll never deny you. Don't even think that I'd ever do something like that. And you know what happens? But this day, when the pressure was on, when the heat was on, Jesus, Peter, denies Jesus. Wow. Just hours before that. In fact, Jesus even predicted just that it would happen just before it happened. In Matthew 26, verse 34, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me. See, Peter was not the strong, brave friend and follower of Jesus Christ. And you read that story and you listen to Peter's being challenged about being connected with Christ and he denies Christ three times. And in verse 74 it says, immediately a rooster crowed. And then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. I believe that was the lowest point of Peter's life. I believe at that point he said, you know, I've just crossed the line. I've just done something that I'll never be forgiven of. I'm finished. As far as my life as a believer, as a follower of Christ, it's over. I'm finished. And I believe he was thinking, oh, I'm the biggest loser. I'm a loser. And I believe that, you know what I believe? Many people today feel the same way. I believe there's many people that have relegated themselves to a low opinion of themselves because we've blown it sometimes. You know, we haven't lived up to what we feel are others or even ourselves, our own expectations. And we just blow it. We're not the place that we should be at. And so we have this opinion of ourselves that just kind of holds us back. Here's what I believe God wants us to do. Point three. God wants us to think differently about ourselves. God wants you to think differently about yourself. You see, when Jesus met Simon, he knew Simon inside out. He knew, even before any of these mess ups and struggles that Peter would experience, he knew he was going to go through them.
Right?
One day Jesus, it says in John chapter 1, that one day Jesus said to Simon, he says, Simon, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change your name from Simon, which means reed, being blown and swayed in the wind, to Peter or Cephas, which means rock. I'm going to change your name. John 1:42, Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated, it means Peter, and Peter means rock. Rock, solid rock. See, he wanted Peter to think differently about himself. Right? On your PowerPoint, Jesus gave him a new name and pointed him to his future. Right? And Jesus knew way beforehand that Peter was going to deny him. And yet he accepted Peter, he chose Peter, and he loved Peter. See, he knew, he believed that Peter was going to be everything that God has called him to be. And eventually, if Peter would just stay on the right path, if he would just keep on getting up, and if he could just keep encouraging him and, you know, picking him up and just brushing him off and just saying to him, Peter, come on, Peter, come on, Peter, that someday in the future, Peter would be someone great and do something great for God. Amen? Jesus never gives up. You know, in the same way, your goofs up, your messes, your failures, you know, I want to tell you, they have been no surprise to Jesus. You think Jesus was surprised when you goof up? No, he knows. And your failures, I want to say this, your failures, they don't faze Jesus. Your failures don't faze Jesus. He never looks down at you and say, whoa, that guy's making a lot of mistakes. I don't know. No, doesn't surprise Jesus. And what I'm saying is this, you know, you might be alone, you might be afraid, you might feel like life has just pushed you down, But I want to tell you, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never turn away from you. He will never do that. You know, I believe even if you fall out of grace with out of relationships with friends and family, even in the church, there's no such thing as falling beyond God's grace. Amen? No such thing. His eye is on you all the time. He never takes His eye off you. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10 is about a guy named Jacob. Jacob is one of our forefathers in the faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And Jacob had just run away from his family. He'd done something bad. He had stolen his brother's birthright. And so he was on the run. And he was all by himself. He left family, left his home. He was just running in fear. And in verse 32, Deuteronomy 32, says, in a desert land, he, God, found him in a barren and howling waste. And he shielded him and he cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. See, he watches over us. He never takes his eye off. Never for a moment is God so busy that he just turns and says, oh, I'm sorry, that happened to you. I missed that. No, it doesn't happen. He always has his eye on you. Hard to believe, but that's the way he is. He's omniscient. He's all powerful. He always has his eye on you. His grace does not quit on you. Jesus never quits on you. Amen? You know, after his denial, Peter hits this all-time low. And he's in isolation, and he's in hiding, and the devil is talking to him, and these voices are talking to him, and telling him, you know, you're so weak. You're so weak. You just betrayed your friend. You let him down when he needed you the most. You know, and Peter is so discouraged. And now he's at this point, and he realized, you know, Jesus is dead. He's been crucified. He's buried. He's in the tomb. And it's hopeless. He has no hope. But on resurrection morning, the story says, 3 days after Jesus was buried, on resurrection morning, the angel of the Lord tells these three women, Mary, the mother of Mary and Salome. He says these words to them. Don't be alarmed. He said, you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him just as he told you. Go and tell his disciples and Peter. Not go and tell his disciples and John, or go and tell his disciples and Thomas, but go tell his disciples and Peter. See, there's special mention of Peter. Why? Because God has not forgotten Peter. God has not taken his eyes off Peter. God's plan was for Peter to get back up and to get back on track and to head to Galilee where Jesus was going to be. And so Peter responds. He heads to Galilee. And I believe in his mind he was thinking, you know, maybe there's still some hope. Maybe there's still some hope for me. Maybe I'm not finished yet. In John's Gospel 21 verse 1, it says, afterward Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. And this is what Peter said in verse 3. I'm going out to fish. Simon Peter told him, and they all agreed. They said, yeah, we're going to go with you. Let's stop right there. You know, when there's this old saying, right? When I'm going fishing. There's an attitude behind those words. You know, there's something behind those words. I'm going fishing. You know, I believe the common tendency for people when things don't work out so well in their life is to go back to doing what they were used to doing, right? I believe that we have people, when we hit the lowest point in our life, our tendency is to go back to the old ways, right? I think that's common. So when Peter said, I'm going fishing, his attitude, you know what? He's saying basically this, that the future I had, thought I had, not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Verse 3 says, so they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. They caught nothing. Does that sound familiar? They caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Wow. Is this deja vu? Yeah. That's kind of like, I think this has happened before. But you know, this is not the same story. This is after the resurrection. Then the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. It didn't say he said, hey guys, it's the Lord, come on, paddle, put the oars to the water, let's go. You know, turn the ship around. He didn't. He just jumped right into the water. And he was flailing like a madman. I believe that, you know, he was churning up the waters, just trying to get back to Jesus. Amen? You know, I look at this event. This is almost like a setup by Jesus. This is a setup by Jesus. This is a special reminder to Peter. It's like Jesus is saying to him, Peter, remember? Remember the first time when you let down the nets? Remember the catch of fish you got? I want you to realize something. I want you to realize this, that none of that has changed. I haven't given up on you. I still have plans for you, and I'm still your friend. And the plans that I have for you, you can't even imagine what I have planned for you. In other words, Jesus was saying to Peter, point number 4, Peter, it's okay to mess up as long as you don't give. Right? Peter was restored that day. He became a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ that radically changed his life. He went on to become chief of the apostles. His voice was a major voice of the gospel to the known world at that time, especially to the Jews. He went on to plant churches. He wrote books of the Bible. He did miracles. His shadow would fall on sick people and they would rise up and be well. He led so many people to Christ. He preached one of the greatest messages ever preached and heard in the world. It was on a special day called the Day of Pentecost when the power of the Holy Spirit came down. And he preached that message with power. And that day, 3,000 people responded to his message. Boom! And the church of the New Testament was launched. Wow. That's how God used Peter. Amen? One of the greatest messages, perhaps maybe the greatest message that Peter preached through his life was a message of this, that you just don't give up, that you just don't quit, no matter how bad life has been for you. Amen? Don't quit. And I believe his testimony was a testimony of his own personal resilience. Able to just keep on getting back up after the bad time. Amen? And I believe that's what God wants to put in us today. That same spirit, that same resilience. His greatest message was that he didn't give up. See, he didn't leave. He didn't allow his failures to have the final word in his life. He didn't allow his mistakes to define who he was as a person. And he believed that there was something in his future that was far greater than his past. Amen? And that's the truth for every single one of us. Having a relationship with Jesus does not mean that you will suddenly be perfect. Your mess ups, your failures, your disappointments, they have not been a surprise to God. In the Old Testament, in Nehemiah chapter 6, in Nehemiah's gospel is the story of a guy who was called by God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, both the physical walls and the spiritual walls. The people were decimated, they were scattered, and God was bringing the remnant of people back who were in bondage or in captivity in Babylon. He was trying to, and bringing them back to the city of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah had this assignment to build up the walls and to bring the people back. And he faced incredible opposition, enemies, and death threats, intimidation, and discouragement. And here's Nehemiah's attitude. He said in chapter 6, verse 9, they were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work with what? With even greater determination. So I say, when the enemy comes to intimidate you and discourage you, come with an attitude of even greater determination. Amen? No matter what you're going through, God still has a plan for you. He hasn't quit on you. Jesus is saying, I haven't quit on you, don't quit on me. Right? Get up from where you are. Get up from where you are. Take some steps forward. No, he's saying, get up, take steps forward. And if you fall, I pick you up. But in the end, I will bless you with incredible blessing of abundance. I will bless your life. Which, last point, he will bless you. Not because you're perfect, but because you didn't give up. I see so many Christians giving up. I see so many Christians putting this sign, flipping this sign over on their heart and saying, I've just gone fishing. I'm just relegated to just kind of just going along in life, not believing that God could use my life to do great things for him. You know? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, you're not saved by works, you're saved by grace. See, it's not about how good I can be, it's about how good God is, right? So come out from where you are and be strong. Be courageous, you know? Re-establish your identity with Jesus Christ. Re-establish your identity with God's people, the family of faith, people who faithfully follow God. Amen? Listen, you know, I believe you can be the most passionate, you can have the biggest heart for God, the most passionate heart for God, but you know what? You're still going to make some mistakes. You're still going to do some stuff wrong. And that's when you have to continually just get back to God, right? Get back into the fellowship of believers and just reconnect yourself with God. Amen? Amen? That's all I'm trying to do. It's trying to tell you today, don't give up because Christ hasn't given up on you. Don't relegate yourself to ordinary living. There's more for you that God wants to do through you. Amen? Put your heart and put your hand in God. Amen? So let's thank God. Let's thank God for His grace and for His goodness. Amen? Amen. Let's bow your heads. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. Thank you for every single person here, Lord. Maybe we're in a place where everything is just going well. And life is going along, seems like, with not too many hitches. But you know, when we, in this life, Jesus, you said you're going to have troubles. We're going to have troubles. And in these troubled times, we need to really look towards you, Lord. You know, I just wonder right now, if God could come and He'd go straight into your heart, I wondered if what He would see in your heart today. Would He see a heart that's totally surrendered to God, just passionate about Jesus, and just willing to do anything for Him? Would He see that? Or would He see a heart that's disappointed and discouraged, that has this little sign that says, gone fishing. Discouraged. Somewhat discouraged even. Somewhat disappointed. Maybe because of a sickness. Maybe because struggling business or marriage. Maybe finances. Whatever it is. Maybe a lost job. Whatever it is that you might be going through. I want to tell you, don't go fishing. Don't go fishing. No, because the disciples went fishing all night, but they caught nothing, right? Instead, be encouraged. Press into God like you've never pressed into God before. Amen? Press into God. Believe God for healing. Believe Him for blessing in your business. Believe God for a breakthrough in finances. Breakthrough in your marriage, no matter what it is. Restoring your marriage. Believe God for even a better job, a new career. Amen. God doesn't quit on you. Don't quit on Him. Amen. Continue with even a greater determination. Press into God. Reconnect with God again. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you faced the greatest opposition, but you did not give up. Thank you that you did not give up. And that same spirit and attitude, I pray that it would be in us. That's what you put in Peter. Put it in us. This tenacity of spirit, this resiliency that no matter what we go through, we just keep on getting up, getting back on track, reconnecting, staying on the right path with you. Thank you, Father, for doing it. For great things. You will bless us because we don't give up. That's the promise. Thank you, Lord. In due time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. So no matter what you may be going through, there's a harvest coming your way if you don't give up. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of tenacity and encouragement today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just want to keep your heads bowed. You know, I wonder if there's someone here today that you really need to connect with Jesus Christ. Maybe you know about Jesus, but you haven't personally invited Jesus into your heart. And you haven't asked Him to be Lord and Savior of your life. If you're here today and you've never done that, I want to give you an opportunity to make the greatest decision you will ever make in your life. And that's to say, God, I want to receive you into my heart. I want you to be Lord and Savior. And the Bible promises you, by inviting Christ into your heart, the Bible says you'll be saved. You'll be saved. You receive the gift of salvation and eternal life. So if that's you, just believe in Jesus and just receive Him into your heart today by faith. And I'm going to tell you, if you do that, you will never be the same. Amen. So I'm going to lead you. In fact, I want to lead everyone in a prayer. And we can all say this. Can we all say this prayer out loud? Repeat after me. Father in heaven, I'm giving you my life. Please come into my heart. Thank you for dying for me, paying for my sins on the cross. Today and onward, Jesus Christ will be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I ask, amen, amen. If you said that prayer for the very first time, I want you to raise your hand. That is the most important decision you will make. And you need to acknowledge it. If you said that prayer, can you raise your hand? Just raise it high. Just wave it. Anybody here? I receive Christ for the very first time. I believe in Jesus. I received Him. Anybody here? First time. Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, we're going to finish off. Thank you for joining us. You know, take that word and take it home and be encouraged today.